Back to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're now in the second half of our program today. We're talking about the beyond the unfair affair, broken homes, broken dreams. And now you have to pick up the pieces. So we invite you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. But as always, around this time, we like to take a look at our second favorite book, and that is Facebook. If we're not friends yet, please make sure we become friends. We are looking forward to speaking with you via the book. So just reach out to us at facebook.com, Marriage Beyond the Vows. So, Marcos, what are people saying on the book?
All right, well, we have just a little time, so I'm only going to pretty much share what some of you posted this morning, specifically when we put up there that Lisa, one of our earlier callers, mentioned that she wanted to get revenge after she found out her husband was cheating on her, and I asked you to tell us or let her know what should we say to her. Okay, and so we want to start off here. Crescenda Jones says, "So sorry, I can't imagine the pain. I hope you have a Bible-based support system. We really try our best to be vulnerable and support each other. Join us." And then she puts the website, disciplestoday.com. Aisa says, "Seek guidance, both spiritual and professional." Latasha Green says, and she put a scripture here from Leviticus 19, verse 18, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord your God." And it goes on and on. And so that's a great passage there. We thank Latasha. She also says, "Facing the cost of self-discipline. As Christians, many of us have the idea that everything in our lives should be perfectly simple because we are Christians. But Jesus clearly warned us, in the world we will have tribulation, trials, and distress." Then Hawaii Bound says, "Go pray before you do something you won't forgive yourself for while compromising your integrity." Linda Sago says, "Revenge equals holding grudges. Holding grudges equals hindered growth mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Forgiveness doesn't mean what he did was right. Forgiveness is for you and your peace of mind." All right, Linda. And Jelani says, "The feeling Lisa has is understandable, but would only lead to further hurt and pain. We should remind her of all the times we have been unfaithful to God, who constantly forgives us. If she loves her husband, she should seek counseling in God's voice through prayer." And again, there's so many, too many to mention. And we invite you to chime in, to get in that conversation, and also to ask your own questions and respond. We always ask, of course, like we do on the show, to be respectful, not to really, you know, judge one another, but to be able to bring people back to God as a result of what we're talking about here. All right. Well, our topic today here on Marriage Beyond the Vows is beyond the unfair affair. And so we are talking about how an affair can break up your marriage, your dreams, everything. And now here you are, if your spouse has committed adultery or has been unfaithful, you have to pick up the pieces. And we've heard from many, many of you already. We invite you to call us back right now.
And the number is 855-454-5905. So let's go back to the phones. We have an anonymous caller from Detroit. Detroit caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
All right. Thank you for joining us. What's your comment or question?
Well, my husband called me this morning and asked me to tune into you guys, and I've been listening, and I'm in the middle of this, of exposing an affair to my husband, and I just feel like I should be talking to you guys about it, you know, how to move forward and why I did it or what have you.
All right, so is this the first he's hearing of it?
Yes, it is.
Wow. All right. So you decided to share that here on the air with us. And why have you decided to tell him?
Well, I talked to my auntie in Georgia, and she said that it was almost destroying her and that she didn't want to come to the family reunion because of it, and that God doesn't want me to keep this secret from my husband, that the enemy would want things like that, and that it's a lie I'm living right now. I didn't see it like that, but then when my husband came in, I just shared it with him yesterday, and He's trying to figure out why.
So you mentioned this to him already yesterday.
Yes.
Now, is this an ongoing affair?
No, are you still? I stopped it. I stopped it. He asked me this morning how many times. I said three.
Wow. Wow. Now, why? What were you thinking?
I was thinking this gentleman, this guy had pursued me for 3 years, and I flirted with the idea, and after I left the job and moved to another job, got blessed by the Lord with a $5 raise, I went back. I guess it seemed like I was bragging and sitting around some of my coworkers, and I actually began drinking with them, and that kind of loosened up the defenses, and next thing I know, I began, the affair.
All right. Well, I think you're mentioning a lot of things, and it sounds like your husband loves you, and he's trying to work it out for him to even be able to hear that and tell you to tune in this morning. I tell you, I think God is working, even in spite of the foolish choices you've made. I mean, they're absolutely foolish. I mean, you're destroying your marriage. But let me tell you how it starts. It starts where this man, for some reason, something he was saying or doing was making you feel good. And at some point when you were feeling really good, you compromised and you put yourself in a situation. And I could tell you this much, Jesus himself in Matthew 26, when he's praying and his disciples are falling asleep, he says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we have to constantly remind ourselves that we are weak. Put ourselves in a bad situation, we will fall. And I think the biggest mistake you made, even greater than the affair, is going back to that situation and hooking up with this guy and being naive that something wouldn't happen. However, you've repented, right? You've cut this off.
Yes.
You've realized the wrong of your, how wrong your ways were. And it sounds like your husband wants to work things out, which is amazing. That should show you the grace of God. And the grace of how much God still has loved you and blessed you.
Amen.
And I hope and pray you learned the lesson, and after you and your husband healed through this, that you don't allow yourself to ever, ever be in a situation like that again.
Absolutely.
So please, call us back. Let us know how things are going. But it sounds like your husband is trying to work this out, and that's a blessing. You don't know how many don't have that. So you have so much.
Yes, I think it goes back to I'm looking at my father. He was he had three women pregnant at the same time, so we have three siblings that turned the same age within a few months. And he had those kind of ways, and I believe in maybe a generational curse might have came out.
No, it's not a generational curse. It's you made a really stupid decision. Don't blame your daddy.
Okay.
All right. This is not, your daddy has to give an account to God. You have to give an account to God.
That's right.
Embrace the grace. Okay. Mm-hmm. And be grateful and never allow yourself to be in that situation ever again.
Okay.
Because I don't know how much your husband seems to be gracious and loving, but any man in his right mind won't keep doing this over and allowing you to do this over and over again.
Right.
So even if he decides to forgive you, You should be the most grateful person, and don't ever, ever blame anybody else. You're a grown woman.
Yeah, I know. It's about my decisions,
All right.
And, seeking the attention. It seems like.
Yeah, of course. We know what happened. You were seeking attention. But what I'm saying is you have to stick with the repentance, okay?
Stick with the repentance. Okay.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling us today.
All right.
Keep us posted.
Thank you guys for being here for us.
Take care.
You're welcome.
All right, we want you to stay right there. We're about to come back with the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we'll be right back after this.
Thank you.
to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. So we invite you to call in at 855-454-5905. And we are going to go back to the phones. Unfortunately, I can't see who we have coming up. I don't know. My little screen keeps blanking out
all
on
right.
me. So
well,
we're just going to go to line two.
Line two.
All right. Caller on line two. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
If you don't mind, if you could just give us your name, or if you're calling anonymously, let us know.
I'm calling anonymously.
Okay, no problem. And so what is your comment or question for us today?
Okay, I've been trying to call for probably a few months now.
Okay.
I've been in a relationship, in a marriage for a long time, and I dealt with my husband doing a lot of cheating, and the last incident was actually almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
Actually, it was 2 years ago, April 19th. And basically, at this point, I am in a state of withdrawal.
Okay.
I heard you talk about the state of withdrawal before. You told somebody that that's where they were, and I completely identified with where she was. It's basically a state where, at this point, for the past year and a half, he's been trying. No signs of any kind of cheating, no phone calls. Making sure that I know that he's not cheating. And at this point, he knows that this is where he wants to be and that all of these were mistakes that he made. However, when all of this stuff happened, we tried to go to counseling, and we went to 4 sessions before he decided that he wasn't going to sit there and listen to somebody tell him how wrong he was.
Okay.
And so at this point, I'm like, okay, you're done now, and you're done with all of that, and you know that this is where you want to be. And at this point, I don't care anymore. And I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to get back to where he's who I want, if that makes any sense. I mean, I'm still here. We have 4 children. I love him, but at the same time, I'm so hurt. I have never healed, and I don't know how. I have lots of triggers that take me back to that place. And I think that maybe if it hadn't been repeated issue, you know, repeated girl after repeated girl, and if it hadn't been, the last situation was just so bad. It was a situation that lasted almost 2 years.
Wow.
And it was with basically both of them denying in the beginning, and then when I finally came with, you know, hard proof, because I knew what something was going on.
Okay.
But I was basically told, you're just insecure. You know, you've got a good man, you need, and this is what I was told by her, you're insecure, you've got a good man, you need to stop, you know, acting so insecure.
Now, was this supposed to be a friend of yours?
No, she wasn't a friend of mine, she was a client of his.
Okay.
So, I basically am in the state of withdrawal, and I don't know how to fix it. I feel like, at this point, he is where I have always begged him to be, as far as time, attention, everything that I've always asked him to be, he's being now. But now at this point, I don't even know how to accept that, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes so much sense. As a matter of fact, I want to say thank you even for bringing this up, because I've actually been able to witness this quite a bit. My wife and I sometimes even end up shaking our heads, like in situations where it seems like you've tolerated a whole lot, so much. And like you said, you wanted your husband to get to this point, but it took so much to get there that now you finally feel like even safe enough to say, you know, everything you felt, like he was a jerk, how much he hurt you. And it almost seems like if you forgive him, it'll be too easy. And then you'll put yourself back into a vulnerable position, which you don't want to be. And let me tell you, that's just common sense, right? I mean, God designed us a certain way, and he's given us certain qualities that protect us. Like, you know, our nature is to want to defend ourselves and protect ourselves. And so you're not out of your mind. However, you got to remember that the spiritual is so unnatural to the physical. And from a humanistic standpoint, it doesn't make sense for you to forgive your husband. But from a spiritual standpoint, you say you have 4 children. You obviously love your husband. But most importantly, this is when you have to say, do you trust God no matter what happens. You know, there's a story in the book of Daniel about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And a lot of times we look at them as so heroic because they were willing to withstand, you know, even if they were going to be tossed into the fiery furnace, or even when Daniel was going to go into the lion's den, their hearts were, you know, even if God doesn't save them, they were still going to stay faithful and righteous. And the question for you is, are you going to trust God enough, even if it doesn't work out, because you know what God is asking you to do and what's the right thing, which is to truly heal and forgive?
And
it's a decision.
I know that, and I get that. I just don't know how. And it's like, at this point, when he touches me, I don't want him to touch me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When he touches, kisses me, I don't want it. I just want him to leave me alone. And I prayed, like, God, just take me from this place. I don't know how to get out of this place. And he tells me I'm mean. I don't, you know, he tells me he loves me, and it's just like, okay, you know, like, I don't know what to do. I pray, I talk to him, I tell him exactly how I'm feeling, and he listens, and sometimes he gets frustrated. You know, sometimes he's like, I know, I did this, I get this, but then other times he's like, well, I mean, if you're not even going to give me a chance, like, why are you even still here?
Absolutely. And you know what you're doing is, look, I'm only basing this on what you're telling us, but it sounds like he finally got it and he sees the pain he's caused you and he wants to change. But what you're doing now is it's going to frustrate him even more, and it's going to push him out that door, because now he's going to feel like he has unmet needs. Even if it's not deliberate, it's very easy for someone else to come along and meet those needs. And it doesn't sound like that's what you want. But here's the battle that you have. You have this internal battle of having to deny yourself, which the Bible says in Luke 9:23, or having to work it out. And you want both, but it does take healing. And look, I don't totally understand how God works. I just know that he does. I don't know if that makes sense. But, you know, the Bible, for example, I'll share a scripture here. It says, in Luke 17, it says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. But if they repent, forgive them. Now, forgiveness is one of these things that doesn't seem natural to us. But I believe that you haven't totally forgiven in your heart. And that's the problem. It might take you. Have you fasted?
No.
It might take you fasting and praying. And also what the Bible says, and Jesus gives out that challenge in Luke 17. So that would be a great chapter for you to study out. Because even afterwards, they're like, all right, so what do you do? Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back, and other scriptures say 7 times 77, you must forgive them. Meaning that this is going to be something that is not going to happen overnight. Some days you might be able to hold his hand, hug him, even make love to him. Other days you might not even want to see him. But if you made a decision to forgive him, you got to wake up every morning remembering the decision you made and forgive him over and over again. And I'm not saying you forgive him over and over again if he keeps doing it, but for the past sins, that the devil's going to try to keep bringing it back and justify. And that's the pattern. And that's what will destroy your marriage. So if you're really trying to work this out, are you in the Philadelphia area at all? I know
no.
You called anonymously.
I'm in Charlotte.
Okay, you're in Charlotte. Wow,
that's
I wish
one
you.
One of the things I've looked, well, when I was trying to go to counseling, I looked for Christian counseling and I wasn't able to find any. We went to counseling. I can't remember the place's name, but at this point, he wants to go to counseling, and it's kind of like he keeps telling me to schedule some, and I'm just like.
Well, you know, we might be able to have at least an initial consultation over the phone with you. You know, I'm based out of Philadelphia, but I would love to speak some more to you and to your husband, because you need someone to help you through some of this. And so I really want to be able to do that. Now, there are a few ways you can reach me. Number one, I can just tell you to hold on the line and Larry can give you all that information. But if you just want a simple way to reach me, just go to my website, which is callmarcos.com. callmarcos.com. Just send me an email or stay on the line. We'll get your information as well.
Okay.
All right. But just keep in mind that this is a process. It didn't happen overnight where you got to this place, but it also is a decision that you have to make to start going in the right direction. I think you're getting there. If you weren't, you wouldn't be battling and you wouldn't be struggling the way you are. You would have just been done. So that's a good sign.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. We thank you so much for calling us. And just stay on the line, please.
Thank you.
All right, stay right there. If you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. The number to call in with comments or questions on our topic of Beyond the Unfair Affair. Reach out to us at 855-454-5905. Let's go to line four and speak with Vicki calling in from Pennsylvania. Vicki, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
All right.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, I'm calling because I spoke with y'all a while back and concerning an affair that my husband had. And I took my husband back a couple months after him having this affair. And, okay. You know, it didn't work out. We're separated again. And it's been over a year or so since we've been separated. And I moved away because I thought that that was going to give me peace of mind. But I found out that wasn't the right thing to do. I still don't have the peace of mind that I'm looking for, and I know that God is the only one that can give me the peace that I'm looking for, but I've been trying to get my husband to come back home, trying to work on my marriage. I prayed, I fasted, I did everything that I feel like I should do as a wife, you know, doing the right thing by him, you know, and it's like nothing that I do is working, you know, and he still refuses to come back home. He used excuse after excuse not to come back home, you know.
Let me interject for a quick minute, Vicki. You said you left, but you want him to come back home. I'm a little bit confused.
No, he left the home again, and I moved out of the city.
I got you.
He left the home again, so I moved out of the city.
I got you.
You know, feeling like, you know, I was going to have peace if I didn't see him out of sight, out of mind, staying away,
sure.
You know, and that didn't work, you know. So, you know, we talk on the phone here and there, you know, but it's like I've been trying to tell my husband, you know, we're praying for God to heal and restore our marriage, but it's still a part that we play in it also. You know, mm-hmm. We have to work on it also. We can't just sit back and ask God to work to heal a marriage.
Sure, you don't want God. Yeah, God wants you to do your part. I mean, the Bible even says, right, one man plants, the other one waters. God makes it grow. In any situation, he still wants us to do the planting and watering.
Yes, and my husband refuses to do anything. It's like no dating, no nothing, you know. And it was one time that he would come to my apartment and, you know, be intimate, and then I wouldn't see him no more for weeks at a time. And I'm like, you know, this is not right. I'm not his girlfriend. I'm his wife. You know, I refuse, and I let him know I refuse to be a part-time wife anymore. It's either all or nothing.
Okay,
you know,
good.
So
good
I don't
you.
Allow him to come to my apartment anymore, you know, just for sexual purposes. You know, I don't allow him to come anymore. So it's like either you come home. I gave him an ultimatum, a date for him to come home for us to do what we need to do for our marriage. And he still just refuses to come home. He just make excuse after excuse. And I'm like,
you.
I feel like my husband had done everything except say to me he wanted a divorce. And I feel like, you know, that he doesn't want this marriage anymore, but he don't know how to tell me. He telling me that he loved me, but love is an action word.
Absolutely, but I think you have your answer.
You have to show it.
Vicki, at least from what you're telling me, it sounds like your husband has made it clear. He just hasn't said it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he refuses to come back, he's not changing. I mean, it's just evident. His actions, treating you the way he's treated you, sleeping with you and not coming back for weeks. I mean, everything is showing you he doesn't want the marriage. I mean, mm-hmm. How can you work on something if he's not willing to work on it?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to me, at least from what you're sharing, I could be wrong. I'm just a man, so I don't know what God sees in this picture, but if you want my honest opinion, it sounds like he's already shown you, your husband has shown you that he doesn't want this marriage. It's over.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm getting out of it also, you know, that's what I'm feeling. And I've been praying, like I said, fasting and asking God to show me, you know, God, help me to see, you know what I mean? Help me to see what it is, you know, and all I keep seeing is he doesn't want this marriage anymore because he's not doing what he has to do. He's not doing his part. He refuses to come home. He refuses to work on it, you know. And the only option I see left is divorce.
Okay, well, I'm going to share a scripture with you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very simple. From the book of James, it says in James chapter 2, Let me just get there real quick. James chapter 2, it says, in the same way, verse 17, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. Okay, so faith without deeds is dead. Your husband's words, no matter what he says or doesn't say, is his actions that you have to listen to.
Yes.
All right, and I hope and pray that God makes it clearer and clearer to you, but I think it's pretty clear.
Yes.
All right, Vicky, well, thank you. Thank you so much, and I hope and pray that something changes, but if not, I think you have the answer.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. All right, let's move over to line one and speak with Robert, who is on the phone from Detroit. Robert, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, yeah. Robert. Here, we're talking about Beyond the Unfair Affair, about infidelity here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. And how can we help you, Robert?
Yes, and my wife doesn't want to work out, period. She had an affair, and she didn't want to tell me at first.
Okay.
But she told me, and now she had, like, she wanted to have another affair. So, I mean, she sleeps out there with the children. She don't come in the bed.
Mm.
She don't talk. We pray and we read the Bible, but nothing seemed to happen because she want to have her way.
Okay. So she's refusing to sleep with you, refusing to come back. She's having affairs. What is your question?
Should I have any kind of help, a source of help? Because she said that she don't need no counseling. She don't need no psychiatrist, none of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. She needs Jesus, that's for sure.
Yes.
So I think that. So are you wanting to reconcile with your wife, or you feel like you need to divorce your wife?
It seems like I need divorce because I tried to make this marriage work, period.
Okay.
I'm a working man, and I make an honest living. I do everything right. Never been to jail, but yet still on, she treat me like I'm a dog.
Okay. And you're not. You're not a dog.
No.
You're a good man who's trying to love his wife, and she's not. Okay. Well, again, look, taking you for what you're sharing, okay, your wife is not on the phone. We're not hearing from what she has to say. There's always an other sides to the story, right? But the reality is I can just share from that. I'll share this. From Matthew chapter 5, it says, this is Jesus saying this, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, meaning her immorality, makes her a victim of adultery. So if she's been unfaithful, and then it says, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery, meaning that biblically, if that's the case, if she's the unfaithful one and you divorce her, you're free to move on. She would be the adulterer. And so she's going to have to give an account to God himself, just like you have to give an account to God himself for your actions and what you do. And it sounds like you can't, this is something I've said earlier, even in the show, and I say it over and over again, you can't work with someone that's not willing to work with you. And so if she's not willing, I mean, you can't force her to be like, woman, you got to be my wife and marry me and love me and sleep with me. I mean, you could try to force it. It's not going to work. And
right.
So unless she has a change of heart, I think you have your answer. It seems like it's inevitable and you have to move on with your life, unless, of course, she has a change of heart.
Okay.
All right. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, that's the free will that God gives us. And even in a marriage, it's supposed to be forever, but people can choose to break that covenant, which it sounds like this is what she's done.
Okay.
And you know what? God would see your righteousness, and I believe he will bless what you do if you trust him. All right, Robert?
All right.
So, I mean, other than that, unless she has a change of heart, there's not much we can do right now. But we want to say thank you so much for calling us.
Thank you.
All right. Be blessed.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Thank you for the call. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise, your inspiration station, and we are talking about Beyond the Unfair Affair. We still have a few minutes left in the program for you to give us a call at 855-454-5905. Looks like I'm blind again, so we're going to go to the next caller. Not sure what line it is, but I know our producer Larry will be able to hook
all
it up.
Right.
Next caller, good morning. I think it's Denise on line two calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Denise, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. I'll keep it really brief, but, okay. You know, I think, and I will continue to say to everyone, love is a decision. Mm-hmm. We choose to love our spouse. We wake up in the morning and we choose to deal with the idiosyncrasies. We choose to deal with the things that make them who they are. And when there is cheating involved, it involves secrets. We create these other personalities to keep the secret from our spouse. And, you know, then that choice is being ripped away from the other person. And I think that's what makes infidelity so unfair, because I chose to marry you. But when you cheated on me, and when you cheat on me, I don't know who you are. This is another personality that I'm dealing with to hide the many, many, many secrets.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that in order for there to be healing, all of that has to be uncovered. Who were you? Why did you, you know, because I believe that people can recover from infidelity.
Sure.
However many times it was, you know, if you can get back to the original person that you believe God put you to, you know, put you with.
Now, let me ask you a question, Denise. What if that person has been lying the whole time, even prior to marriage?
If it's prior to marriage, and I'm not a psychologist, but I think that's someone who's not even committed to themselves, much less someone else. Because when you're lying before marriage, then you've never had, you know, you've never had any, any intentions on being committed,
sure.
You know, and you're not even committed to yourself when you're not honest with who you are. So,
good answer. Look, I just wanted to have some dialogue here, and I think you're 100% right when you said that love is a decision, right? The scripture on love, 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't talk about emotions. It just is the commitment that you have there. But I think
Absolutely. And
I love what you said. It's that if you're not true to your spouse in a lot of ways, or even true to yourself, and you're living these secret lies and you know, all these hidden, you're not letting your spouse love you for who you are. That's why sometimes, and this is going to sound a little crazy, but there are, I'm not saying this to advocate or, commend infidelity, but there are times where I've seen marriages get stronger after an affair.
Absolutely.
The truth finally comes out, and then you're able to love that person with all their junk.
You can't be infidelity is emotional. You know, for a lot of men, and I mean, like I said, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. But for a lot of men, it is what it is. You know, it's physical. It can be. For women, it's very, you know, we
emotional.
Choose. It's very emotional. We are sucked in, and it's an emotional affair first, usually, and then it becomes physical. But in the aftermath, once it all comes to the surface, it cannot be an emotional decision. It has to be a rational decision to move beyond the tears, to move beyond the anger, to move beyond the frustration of what happened. What happened happened. Okay, it's on the table. Now let's deal with the real.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
how
Denise,
do we
I would
move
add
forward?
This one thing. It becomes a faithful decision as well, because you just got to
trust
that God can fix and change anything. But in order to do that, and I use this analogy all the time, is if you go to the doctor, right, you're sick, the doctor can't help you unless you're honest about your condition. If you have chest pains, but you tell him you're feeling great, he's never going to do an EKG. He's never going to check you out. And so it's the same way in a relationship, and definitely a relationship with God. Unless we come clean and come honest, he can't clean us and heal us. So thank you so much, Denise. We appreciate the conversation. Thank you for calling Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to, I think it's line three, and speak with Donata, calling in from Detroit. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for calling us.
And is it
good
is
morning.
It Donata?
Yes.
Okay. Well, welcome. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Thank you. Okay. I'm calling this morning because I'm having a lot of problems with my husband. I believe he's cheating, and he do a lot of things to me verbally and falsely accuse me of things when it's really him. Okay. And he has really been down emotionally. We have seek marriage counseling, and when we go, he always thinks the counselor has his best interest. He always called me mean, and so I decided to take an anger management class because it's a lot of things that does make me angry.
Okay.
We was in an argument on yesterday because he say, I take my sanitary napkin and put it in a different bathroom when it's not a bag in my bathroom. So he's saying that he think I'm doing something because if it's not a bag in a particular bathroom, I make sure it reaches the trash.
Okay. All right. Well, Donata, first of all, let's deal with the bigger issue. I mean, that's just kind of a little bit out there, you know, what the reason why you're fighting and all this stuff. Anyway, let's really back in here. Your husband feels like, even when you go to counseling, like he feels verified or something, or validated by the counselor. Like, look, I was right, you're wrong, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay. So is there some truth to this? Is there some things that you need to change?
I need to change my attitude, however, I've been working on it. I've been praying about it. But what it is, since I met my husband, he has really been doing some things that I just feel he shouldn't do. You know, you going in the trash. You listen. You have a recorder in the house that you listen to my conversation.
So
when I go to work,
he knows
you're following me.
Does he know you called in this morning?
No, he does not.
Okay.
Because
well, if he's
we
checking
back
you out, he should
and
know.
I asked him to listen, but you know,
right.
I shoot him a text message. But
all right, well, Donata, let's look at this for a minute. All right,
okay.
You can focus and share all the issues that you have with your husband, and he needs to change. But he's not on the phone, and we're not talking to him. So we're talking to you.
Okay.
Now, do you realize that the only control you have is the change you can make? You can control that. You can't control what he does, doesn't do. I mean, you just cannot do that. Now, it's interesting that there's a book out called Love and Respect. I recommend it for you. And it's the Dr. Emerson that wrote the book. He talks about this, what he calls the crazy cycle. The crazy cycle, he bases it out of Ephesians chapter 5, and he says, look, the wife is supposed to respect her husband, and the husband is supposed to love the wife. That's what Ephesians 5 says. It says, however, when you have a crazy cycle, the wife, and I can tell you right now, off the bat, Donata, it doesn't sound like you respect your husband. You're not giving him respect. So the wife feels justified, and she's like, I'm not going to respect my husband because he's not worthy of respect. And so the husband, in return, says, I'm not going to love. And it doesn't matter who starts it, but it's the cycle you get caught in. And then the husband said, I'm not going to be loving to my wife because she's disrespectful. And then she's like, well, he doesn't love me, so I'm going to, you know, be not show him respect. And it goes on and on and on. In order to break that cycle, somebody has to decide, and right now we're talking to you, to love and to respect your husband. You need to respect him. Even if he's acting a fool, even if he's being a jerk, it sounds like if this is how you're talking to us about your husband, I can't imagine what you're like when you talk to him, how disrespectful you must be. You still need to show that respect, even if he's wrong. I'm not saying you're foolish and do whatever he wants, but like if there's something that's really bothering him, just be respectful about it. You know, what does he need? What does he want? If you focus on being respectful, I could tell you there will be some changes on his end.
He wants control.
Okay. He does. And you know what? In some ways, maybe that's good. In other ways, it might be overboard and it's bad. But you still need to be respectful towards him.
Okay, but how can I be respectful towards him and he does not respect me? I be humble. I be quiet. I listen to everything he say. And when I start making changes towards it, he finds something else to come with me at.
Okay, let's look at an example.
Okay.
You go to counseling.
Yes.
The counselor challenges you, says, you know what? And he says what I'm saying to you. He says, Donata, you need to be respectful. And the very first thing that comes out of your mouth is what came out of your mouth now. It's like, how can I be respectful if he's not that? No one said about him. We were just talking about you for a minute. If you can focus on doing your part,
okay,
then he'll have to worry about doing his part. And if you go back to counseling, I hope you do. See, what I tell people all the time is, you know, counseling is usually not just one time. So sometimes right. you might have a session and it seems like it's all about you. Guess what? If you do everything you can in your best, the best of your ability, then the next time around, chances are the focus is not going to be on you. It's going to be on him. It's like, all right, well, so what's your excuse, my brother? Your wife has been respectful and you are still acting a fool. Then he'll have no excuse.
Okay.
But you have to start with focusing on you. If you're quickly deflecting and saying, well, what about him? It's not about him. It's about okay. you. The Bible calls you to respect your husband.
Okay.
All right. All right, Donata, we thank you so much for calling
us. Okay, thank you.
All right, be blessed.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
All right. Well, it looks like that's it. We don't have any more time for calls.
The end of the road, just for today, though. But I tell you, all those who will be traveling, who will be in the beautiful Atlantis in the Bahamas, we will see you there next week. Actually, less than a week. Everyone else, we invite you to come back, listen to our show, Marriage Beyond the Vows. And in the meantime, go to Facebook.com, Marriage Beyond the Vows, and stay connected with us.
Absolutely. And we thank you so much for listening, as always. Much love going out to our producers in Detroit, to our producer down in Charlotte. Yes, our producer in Detroit. We want to say thank you so much to Tracy, I believe. She is producing for us in Detroit. Ron is our producer in Charlotte. And, of course, our producer here in Philadelphia, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.